Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, episode 150. I'm your host, Rich Shields. I'm here with co-host Guy. We've had an action-packed week last week. We played quite a bit of golf, actually.
That was quite an underwhelming start for a 150th episode.
Oh, yeah. 150.
That's better.
That's a bit mad, that, isn't it? It is crazy. It feels like you don't realise how many you're racking up until you hit these certain milestones.
Well, it's also mad that, obviously, simple maths, 100 was 50 episodes ago, the live show at Manchester, which was really fun. We enjoyed that. Obviously, people came and watched us on stage. But yeah, 150, who'd have thought it?
Well, that's nearly 3 years now, isn't it?
Yeah, November 19, I think it was.
Wow. Since that, we've had a global pandemic.
Yes.
New golf tour starting.
Yes.
I still can't chip.
Yes.
And you're still hitting it longer than me. So,
yeah,
a lot of things have, some things haven't changed and a lot of things have
changed.
Will
we be here another 150, do you reckon?
I hope so, yeah. I definitely hope so. Should we do something big? Should we try and plan something big for 200?
Yeah, come on, talk to me.
It's a year away, isn't it? Didn't I say Vegas?
I think you did actually, yeah.
Let's book out like the MGM Grand and do a massive show where 100 people turn up.
Okay.
No, it should be good. Well, after the success of Range Night a couple of weeks ago, obviously we spoke about it on last week's podcast. The video's gone live now. Hopefully everyone enjoyed it. The response, I don't think I've ever seen a tidal wave of positive messages as much on a video ever before.
You know why it was? It was a number of reasons. I think it was because people like seeing people meet you, if that makes sense. So obviously a lot of people watch the videos and most of them will never meet you in real life because they live abroad or whatever it might be. So, but they feel like you know you at the same time. I think you get that with YouTubers, don't you? You feel like you know them.
Definitely.
So when people watch videos of people who have also watched your videos kind of meeting you in real life and hitting shots in front of you and taking you on challenges, I think that's quite cool.
Yeah.
And seeing the youngsters there who are having fun.
Oliver was brilliant. The clip of Oliver hitting that drive, 180 yards. It was absolutely brilliant. It was the crowd going mad. It was like being at a football match, really. The crowds were just going crazy.
A League Two match.
But yeah, the video was great. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. We have been inundated from different driving ranges, from different professionals or driving range owners or people who go to certain driving ranges. Go and do a range night near us. We will do more. Just locations, TBC.
What do you say? Pay me the right dough and I'll be there.
Exactly.
Big box.
Talk to the boss and we might get there. So we'll see. I think definitely more. I really enjoyed it. It was quite taxing on the evening because for 2.5 hours, like, you have to be very energetic and quite loud and shout it. I might need a microphone next time. But it wasn't that bad at all, was it? Like, before the event, it wasn't that taxing.
No, wasn't that much planning. Well, that's what we said. It was people coming hitting golf balls at a range. Yeah. It was easy.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. So we'll definitely do more. This last week as well, we filmed two brand new Break 75 episodes, two golf courses we played back to back, which will be coming out this week and next week, hopefully. But the episode that's just gone live was Formby.
Yes.
First off, brilliant golf course, beautiful weather, mixture of weather, actually.
Yeah.
We had everything, sun, rain, wind. I don't think we had any snow, but it wouldn't have surprised me. I didn't play golf for 3 weeks. You'd been grinding your ass off.
Absolutely
for three
grinding.
Weeks. And it was a really good video. You could have, should have, would have had a good round.
Yeah.
Just a couple of bad ones left you kind of hanging. But then you hold a monster putt on 15. You nearly had, 14. You nearly had a hole in one on the 16th.
Yeah.
just to give everybody listening a bit of a context of that tee shot. So the par three, the 16th at Formby Hall, it's only quite a short 130 yards. Formby Golf Club. And I'd hit what we looked was a really good shot.
Yours looks stiff.
We thought mine was about 3 foot away. It actually turned out to be about 10 foot away. You hit yours, and we didn't hardly react at all on it. We knew it was good, and we knew it was closer than mine. We just didn't realise how close it actually was.
Unbelievably close.
Because it was pin high and slightly to the left. Like, the perspective made it not look like it was that close.
3 inches away.
Yeah, it probably looked 3 or 4 feet away.
Yeah, that
was brilliant. That round is that one of the closest you've been for a while?
Yeah, well, I think I said before, I've had two hole-in-ones, but I actually feel like I've not had any, and that's for two reasons. Firstly, because the two I've had, I didn't see go in the hole, and one of the two, the first one I ever had, I think I was 14 years old, I hit actually a terrible golf shot, believe it or not, and it rolled over the kind of side of a bunker, disappeared, because it was a bit of a blind hole, and it was in, and then, so that, it was like a weird feeling. It was like, I was overwhelmed, I've got a hole-in-one, but it was a terrible shot that I didn't even see go in, so that's one thing. And then the second hole-in-one I had actually was a great shot about 6 years ago. But again, it was very sunny and yeah. I couldn't see it. Got there, pitch mark was like 8 foot short and the ball would disappear. You know, it's not gone through the back and it was in the hole. That was a little bit better because it was a good shot. But still, I've never had that feeling of watching it go in. And yeah. I envy people that do because...
It was so close.
Hole-in-ones are the best thing in golf. But that round of golf summed up my golf game absolutely perfectly. So a little bit of a spoiler. If you've not watched it, maybe just skip this podcast 30 seconds or so. But I shot 6 over par, which for me is good golf. I'm happy with that. But that was with 3 lost balls. So I know yeah. it's all shoulda, woulda, coulda, all that stuff. But if I hadn't have lost those balls, or if my provisional ball was my real ball, I would have shot level par, which would yeah. have been amazing golf. But I just, my driving's getting better. I'm still losing golf balls yeah, and hitting random shots.
To be honest, though, you actually look at the shots you lost. You lost an iron off a tee.
One was a shank, yeah, with a 3 iron. It's great.
Where was your other two?
So I lost one on that, the one before the par 3, 15. I went into a gauze bus right. And the second hole, it's random, like low snap up that was just horrendous.
Did, yeah.
Just out of the blue golf shots. But I think that's
all
the
off the tee. Yeah. No, it was really good. And talking about hole-in-ones, did you see the clip I shared on Twitter yesterday of this young lad in Australia yeah. getting one? What a reaction. I absolutely loved it. We'll actually try and put it in this podcast right now.
Oh, that's nice. That's right. Add it. Get in, get in, get in, get in, get in.
Young lad, he'd not been playing golf that long. He gets a hole-in-one. His dad's reaction and everything was absolutely amazing. And it really gave me a great feeling. And you think, that really just captivates golf so much. Like that energy, that friendship, or family, obviously, father and son there playing. It was phenomenal. The comments have been great about that. And apparently that golf course, the TV's just gone off, Matt, that golf course nearly shut down about 6 months ago. So people were glad that it was back up and running again. And then this week, will it be next? No, it'll be 2 weeks of Break 75 episodes. We went back to the venue I had my only ever hole-in-one at.
West Lancs Golf Club.
And it was the 17th, and I won't spoil it too much because you've got to watch the video. The pin, when I played it, was in exactly the same place. I don't know if they planned this, knowing I was coming. And I've teed off from exactly the same location with exactly the same golf club. And we almost had the same result.
Almost.
Almost. So that's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. So we've got this week, it will be Clitheroe Golf Course, North Lancashire. Beautiful golf course, open qualifying, very tree-lined, not dead long, but really, really interesting golf course. That'll be coming out hopefully this Friday. And then the Friday after will be West Lancs Golf Club, which for some reason, I love the golf course. It just gives me negative vibes. It just gives me, because I did open qualifying there a few years when I was doing Quest for the Open, and it just gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, it takes me back to a time where I was probably the most nervous in all of my life, because open qualifying back in 2017, when I actually got the hole in one, because it's weird, gives me great thoughts when I think of that individual hole.
Yeah,
but when I think about around the clubhouse and on the putting green, on the driving range and that first tee, I just get this kind of weird like feeling through my body, and it's like I get a bit tense and a bit nervous.
Are you the kind of guy that before tee off may have to have a quick trip to the toilet and just
several times?
Yeah.
And the last time I played open qualifying there, I I had to hit 3 golf balls off that first tee. I hit my first one, and it was heading towards the out of bounds on the left where the driving range is. I wasn't sure if it was inbounds or not. I teed it up again. There's quite a lot of people around. Teed it up again. The second ball that I hit absolutely went out of bounds on the driving range. So then needed to go back to my bag again, get another golf ball, swap to driver, and hit it into this bunker. Horrendous lie. I was thinking, what a way to start an open qualifying. Luckily, I managed to find the golf ball my first shot.
You were lucky.
It was a yard in bounds. And I think I made bogey or maybe even double, but I was relieved.
Can I ask you a question? So around 15, 16 and 17, it was when you were doing your kind of quest for the open stuff. And sorry, I'm touching the mic. I'm really conscious. People are saying in the comments how much I touch the mic. I don't know why. It's a comfort blanket. So if you don't like me touching the mic, I apologise.
Just check if the mic enjoys you touching it.
Mike loves it. I'll see the way I was going to say something bad there. You were doing Quest for the Open, which for those people who don't know, I'm sure most people listening and watching do, you were trying to qualify for the Open Championship.
Yes.
And as part of your kind of training regime, for want of a better phrase, you were playing like local PGA stuff. Yep. And these are typically tournaments that they may be like between 15 to 30 PGA pros in the North region or whatever, who are decent players, who some of which have played in the Open, I guess,
yep.
actually.
Yep.
And you were going, sometimes with Pete as well, you were playing in these events, documenting your journey, your highs, your lows. Didn't you have a couple that were quite decent finishes as
well? Yeah, I shot quite a number of scores under par. And I think I either came joint first in one of these events or second, I think. But it was I was putting some decent numbers together.
But when you were going to these events, and obviously sometimes I remember watching the videos back in the day, you were actually filming yourself, not on the course so much, but like, certainly kind of on the practice range beforehand or on the putting green, and then as soon as you finish, maybe on the clubhouse. Did you ever feel like, because obviously then you weren't anywhere near the size you are now, did it feel weird that the other pros who were probably, maybe, let's be honest, some of them were better than you as well, obviously not all of them were because you had some great finishes, but did it feel weird that they were like looking at you and judging you? How did it feel?
I remember the first ever event, certainly me and Pete went to, when we decided to try and do Quest for the Open. And it was at Shore Hill in Chorley. It's like our first ever proper event. I remember us turning up and like I say, the channels, my channel, Pete's channel, were much more than what they are now.
You were like on 120 or something, I guess.
Because this would have been 2000 and probably 15 that I think I first
so tried
maybe
100K to do this. Subs.
Yeah,
max.
I think I was over 100K. And, a few of the pros obviously kind of knew who we are. We were getting some level of notoriety. I wouldn't say popularity against these other pros, but notoriety. And I never felt more uncomfortable with a group of professionals ever. Because we're there with our bloody tour bags and our free golf clubs and all our sponsored clothing, because that's what we were both at that stage. And with our cameras, we didn't have any camera crew with us. We kind of filmed it all ourselves. And Pete sometimes would film me and I would film Pete. It was a very hostile situation. It felt a little bit like these other pros were looking at us like, has Hollywood just turned up in town? Like, who the hell do these two guys think they are? And it definitely took a long time for me to feel comfortable with these golfers, because I think what I hadn't also anticipated, a lot of these guys who've been playing in these North Region events, they've been playing in there a long time.
Oh, yeah, something like 20-odd years, aren't they?
You know, so this is not new to them. Like,
it's new that guys are coming with cameras, though.
Correct. We would have probably got that level of hostility even if we didn't have cameras. Even if we were just turning up as two new people, fresh
pups.
Blood. The fact we would turn up with cameras and like, say, acting all Billy B with our tour bags and our sponsor clothing, and it definitely.
And then how
didn't
did you feel
well.
On the days where you had like a bad round? Did you feel like more embarrassed then? Are we just not bothered?
Way more embarrassed. The amount of times I was playing a round of golf in these videos, doing Quest for the Open and playing it. The amount of time I was during the round of golf, however I started or middle, through the middle section or the end, I was constantly thinking about the title of the video.
Yeah.
Which is bad, isn't it?
But what were you more at the time thinking about? The fact that people are going to watch it, or the fact that your peers who were PJ pros are going to be like, oh, this guy's come and filmed this shot 82. Or was that not so much an issue after the first few events?
I think once I'd got a couple of good scores under my belt, I felt better.
Yeah, you knew you could play. They knew you could play.
I felt a little bit better once I started to be able to actually show that I could play. And the fact that I got to play with a lot more of them as well.
Yeah.
I think once they started to know who I was and knew who Pete was and got a bit more chatty with us, I wasn't as concerned about that as at that point.
Yeah.
It was still embarrassing if I had a crap round, because you're thinking, they know I'm going to have to film this. They know I'm going to have to put this out on YouTube.
It is brave, to be fair.
And and they would definitely either make remarks, not snide remarks, just remarks that, oh God, you've got to put this on YouTube now tonight. And you think, yeah, great. I always thought to myself, even towards the back end of when I was doing Quest for the Open, I wish I could have entered without it being me.
You know, alias.
To some degree, I was quite envious of their position because they didn't ever need to justify it to anybody. But I can't be envious of their position because they would have looking at me going, all right, I'm envious of you with your free clubs and your sponsor.
Well, and also, I understand what you're saying because you're thinking, whatever I shoot, there's going to be literally thousands of people wanting to know. Whereas this guy might come off the course and text his wife or whatever and could be at the golf club. But then equally, you're getting paid regardless because you're making a video from it. The guy that shoots a million and has to go home is thinking, I'm going to put petrol in the car tonight, literally. Yeah, that's what it's like for some of these guys. It's so tough.
That was the one. It was a security blanket in the fact that it wasn't ever a wasted day. Mm. Like, it was never making mega money, the video, certainly at the time, but it wasn't a wasted day. It certainly covered my entry fee, my travel. Sometimes I'd you know, use a caddy. Sometimes I wouldn't need to pay the caddy if it was a friend or someone like Rob Potter. So I didn't particularly need to stress about that too much. And it wasn't as if it was a day away from working in the pro shop, where, because a lot of these lads, again, who are playing in these regional events, they have a golf shop. They've got to pay an assistant pro to sit in that shop.
It's insane, isn't it?
So, you know, their stress level comes more down to the financial side of things, where my stress level came more from people criticizing the way that I played golf that day.
You know what's mad? I can kind of respect both schools of thoughts. The guys that have a pro shop and say, you know what, I'm not a player. That's not my forte. So I'm almost never going to play competitively. I'll play obviously with friends or whatever. So I'm never going to play these local PJ things because what's the point? I completely respect their viewpoints and why they do that. But I also massively respect the guys that still do go out and play because you said they've got to pay the assistant pro to cover the shop for a day. That might be however much that costs. Then they go to an event. They've got to obviously try and play well to at least make some money. They might actually play well and only just break even. Yeah. Never mind make a profit. So I also really respect those guys. But do you think, obviously, the pressure of having the social media presence is what really caused you to stop playing those competitive rounds?
Yeah. Again, going back to why I feel more nervous about somewhere like going back to West Lancs, because I remember that last time I played in open qualifying, obviously we'd tell people, me and Pete would tell people we're playing in the open qualifying what our tee time would be, and very nicely fans would turn up. That was bloody nerve-wracking. Yeah. It was horrible. Like, I even remember the guys we played with, they'd almost never played in front of crowds that much. And they said, I feel nervous. And they're not even here to watch me.
Did you weirdly feel almost bad on them?
Correct. Yeah. Big time. I was almost apologising. I'm saying, I'm really sorry. I didn't realise like 50 people had turned up. Because a funny story. So one of the times I did open qualifying, I did it at Fairhaven.
Yeah.
Just outside, in Lytham. And I was out second to last. And my pal, John Beasley, we spoke about on the podcast, who I, oddly enough, caddied for in final qualifying. He was in the group behind us, or a couple of groups behind us. And around, I thought at the time, I must admit, I do think a few more people would have been here watching because we've talked about this and advertised it and this and other. And it was at the time Pete was injured, so Pete wasn't playing in it. So I felt like almost his followers would come in and kind of see me as well. Or the followers maybe wouldn't be as split over his group and my group. So I tee it up, and on the tee, Rick Shields, I tee it up and hit this tee shot. And I think, oh, I've got away with this. Hardly anyone's turned up. And as I walked off the tee, John Beasley recalled this. He said, literally everybody that was sat around the pro shop, sat around the clubhouse, sat around the putting green, all stood up and moved and followed that group. So they were there. They just didn't make it quite as obvious. Where somewhere like West Lancs, because the tee is a little bit more offset,
people rode around.
Everyone was up near the tee already. So, yeah, it was definitely different.
Have you quit competitive golf?
I think so. I had an opportunity to play in a pro-am actually this week, and I joked and said if I could play under a different alias, I probably would. I would like to test myself again, though.
It's a truest test, isn't it, having a proper scorecard?
Yeah, because I do think now, playing much more break 75 and actually having a score, you know, I've become marginally better at keeping a score going, and it's given me a bit more confidence that I can shoot somewhere in the 70s. If I have a bad round, it's 80, 81. it's not horrendous. Yeah. I just fear that if it really goes wrong and I let the nerves get to me, it could easily it could get closer to 90.
If you were playing in a round and I wasn't there, I would have no idea what you're going to shoot. Like, it depends on two things. Your start of the round of golf, so how you start, that definitely affects you. It affects everybody, but I think it affects you more so because you're a confidence player. And secondly, how you chip, again, sounds obvious. If you were one of those bad ones early on, that's your head gone.
Yeah.
But equally, if you do a few good chips early on,
yeah, I feel a bit frustrated with my chipping at the moment because, like I said, jokingly, before I went away on holiday and I spent loads of time with Good Gordon, I've seen a comment on Facebook today saying, what was it like to get schooled by the guys from Good Good? I actually don't feel too bad because we made some banger videos and I didn't play phenomenal in stages, but I didn't embarrass myself. It wasn't like absolutely atrocious. I hit some bad shots, granted. But I actually felt my short game was actually starting to trend really, really nicely. Spending time at JCB, even just around the chipping green, having a few little competitions with those lads, it gave me a little bit of confidence, and I chipped nicely. I came away from holiday, come back thinking I'll just carry on with that, and it's not quite got there, so I need to spend a little bit more time on it again to get it back to that point. It is a confident thing. Talking about a confidence thing, though, did you catch much of the golf this weekend?
No, but I saw highlights.
So I'll be honest, there was three big tournaments on this week. Yeah. Well, I say three big ones. There was the European Tour, yeah. DP World Tour. We were playing in Rome, mm-hmm. where the Ryder Cup golf course is next year.
It's looking good for Europe, by the way. The
very good. That was quite a big tournament over here in Europe. On the PGA Tour, there was another big tournament, even though I actually have lost what was the name of it?
It's the Danny Willett one, Max Homer one.
Yeah, so that was another tour event. It was the 14 Championship. I've never heard of it before. And then there's obviously Live Golf in Chicago. If I look at my consumption of golf this weekend, I have got to say I watched a lot of the DP World Tour on Thursday, Friday. I did. Over the weekend, I watched most Live.
Did you?
I didn't watch any PGA Tour apart from the highlights.
Yeah.
And even though, weirdly, the PGA Tour had the most dramatic finish.
That was outrageous. I'm sure a lot of people have seen that, but Danny Willett had a putt to win the tournament that was probably from the length of me to you. He missed it, which isn't the end of the world because it was a missable putt. Had then a putt for the playoff that was probably further away than his first putt.
But it was even the build-up.
And Max Homer chipping in. It was
So Max Homer coming down the last hole, I think he was one shot back. He hits his second shot into a bunker on a par five. He kind of fats his bunker shot short of the green. So you think it's over now because he had to get up and down to put any pressure on. He then chipped it in from the front of the green, which was phenomenal chip. But still, up until that point, Danny Willett at that point must think, I've got two putts to win this tournament.
Yeah.
I have. He's not. Max Homer then boxes that chip, which is incredible. It then forces Danny Willett to hold the putt to win. Slippery one down the hill. He knocked it as far past, if not further past, than where he started. And then missed the one coming back. Yeah. I've never seen anybody three put a tournament that bad to lose.
No, did you see his interview as well?
Incredible.
Yeah, he took it very well. I think it's one of those things that happens in golf, doesn't it? And it can happen on the first tee in your local Stableford comp. Oh, sorry, on the first green. And it can also happen there on the 72nd hole in a PGA Tour event. And it must have destroyed him inside that to do that. But the way in his interview came across was so kind of dignified and well-rounded.
His interview was amazing. And it got me thinking, someone left a comment, I wonder if he is still in gratitude for winning the Masters in 2017. Mm. As in, like, this idea, was it 2017? Was it almost this idea? Because he, 2016, he got gifted that Masters. I'm not saying he shouldn't win it, he did. Jordan Spieth messed up, if you remember, on 12, and he was in the right place at the right time, and it was him against Lee Westwood to finish it off, and he held Lee Westwood off to win that. But a lot of people said he shouldn't have won that. I wonder if in the back of his mind, at some degree, like losing out on this, he kind of goes, I've been on the other side of this.
I don't think so. I think the way we were...
His interview after was just like, how is he coping with this so well?
I think what's mad, though, is the way we think of golfers is that certainly when it gets to the end of the round, anything good that's happened before, we can very easily disregard. So, for example, when that breaks 75, we just talked about that, where I held that massive putt on those at the 50th, 14th, whatever it was. It was literally a one in a I don't know how many, thousands of attempts to hold that putt. And it goes in, like, you celebrate, oh yeah, it went in, blah, blah. But on the next hole, if you miss a three-footer or a two-footer, you don't really think logically and think, well, I hold a monster on the hole before. You think, yeah, how have I put myself in this opportunity and then missed it? So all the hard work he's done for 71 and a half holes, he's done to get himself in contention to be leading. But equally, then to three-put from not very far away, surely his initial thought will be, oh my word. But yeah, his interview was so, so good. Maybe he's just so much calmer than we would be. I'd be so upset. I'd be in tears.
And I wonder, to some degree, I'm sure Max Homer's walking away from that tournament going, wow, I've just won that. I wonder how much it kind of tarnishes his celebration as well. He won it. He did.
Didn't bother Paul Laurie.
That's true. Like, he won it, obviously, but it's like, it must have this kind of weirder feeling. It's not like, you know, if he chipped in.
I think the opposite. I think he knows that his chipping puts so much pressure on.
Yeah, true.
Maybe not pressure as such, but maybe completely.
Well, it forced him, didn't
it? So if he hadn't chipped in, that would never have happened. And no. If he would have two-put, he'd even hold it. But the fact that he chipped in, and I don't know, when you get to that level, it's again, it swings and roundabouts, because he will have an event in the future, I'm sure. He might have already done it where he gives one away. So yeah. Things, you know, like you said, it happened for Danny Willett. He kind of got gifted one and then lost one. So it swings and roundabouts. But what was mad was obviously Liv was on. I didn't really watch much of it, but obviously Cameron Smith has won. We're now seeing a lot more people talk about this kind of issue with the world ranking points.
Because well, at the moment, I think it's a big issue.
Well, it's a huge. At the moment, there's obviously, I'm sure a lot of people are aware of this, there's no official world golf ranking points for live events. The initial conversation was that they were going to be kind of co-sanctioned by the Asian Tour, and that was going to give them some level of world ranking points. Obviously, at the moment, there's nothing. So you're looking at guys like Dustin Johnson, who's up there every week. You're looking at, obviously, now Cameron Smith, who's won, and they're getting no world ranking points. You look at the fields now, regardless of your thoughts on Liv, the field is getting stronger and stronger. Yes, yeah. It's only 54 holes. But at what point does it work? It's going to work one of two ways. It's either going to obviously massively harm the guys who are in Liv and mean they can't play majors unless, like, Cameron Smith are exempt because of winning a major or whatever it might be. So a guy like Sam Horsfield, for example, as time goes on, his world ranking naturally drops because he's not getting many points, other than when he can occasionally play in a European Tour event, as he has done at Wentworth, but ultimately he's going to suffer. Is that going to mean that those guys are massively at a disadvantage? You'd think so. Or, on the other side of the coin, as more and more people seem to be kind of warming to Liv and there's a stronger and stronger field, does it start to actually make people think the world golf ranking, the official world golf ranking, actually isn't that important or isn't that accurate because these guys aren't getting points? And does that then affect the entry to majors? What do you think?
I think at the moment, you look at the field of all three tours I just mentioned then, the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and Liv.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I did a little bit of research just before the podcast started.
You look better with yourself then.
Out of the top 10 players in the world right now, only three of them were playing this weekend.
Really? So Rory.
Rory.
Cameron Smith.
Yeah. And Matt Fitzpatrick.
Right, wow.
So Scottie Scheffler wasn't playing anywhere. Patrick Cantlay, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Will Zalatoris.
That's because the PGA Tour's early, though, isn't it?
It is. But that also concerns me a little bit, because you look at, we mentioned there, there's three pretty good events on this weekend, and yet you've got seven of the top 10 current world ranking not playing somewhere, which I don't quite fully agree with. When you start to look at even further afield to the top 50 world rankings, you actually start to see a lot of live players in that field. Where at the moment, someone like Dustin Johnson's 23rd in the world.
Crazy.
He's not 23rd best player in the world right now. No. He's not. He's much, much higher. He's still probably top 10. So it does start to make the world rankings look like a bit of a farce, because this also got me thinking, world rankings points, you can earn world ranking points as an amateur, and you can earn world ranking points in 36-hole tournaments. Mm-hmm. So this is 54-hole tournament. Why should world ranking points not be featured in this right now? The only reason, from what I'm understanding, why it's not doing is they're dragging their feet. The world ranking point system are dragging their feet in liaising with LIV as such, and they're probably quite in bed with PGA Tour and European Tour. The other thing, when you actually look at the three leaderboards now from the three tours that happened this weekend, you cannot argue the top 10 players from each, from the leaderboard. If you showed a lot of somewhat casual golfers, they would know the names in LIV way more than the other two tours this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Way more. The names that are at the top of the leaderboards now in these three tours that happened this weekend are much more swayed towards LIV being the tour that has the best caliber of player.
I would agree this weekend, without a shadow of a doubt. But obviously, like I said, the PGA Tour season doesn't really get started just yet. So it's kind of comparing apples to oranges, because we know it's not a big PGA Tour event. On the flip side, you could say, well, that's not right that PGA Tour have events that aren't big ones. It would be good if every event was a meaningful event with the best players playing on
which
it.
Which is what I feel came out of that meeting that they had
that
recently.
That is the plan. I think it's 2024 that'll really come into play.
Because they do need more tournaments where the best players...
It's going to be a full year now, isn't it? A proper actual year, calendar year, not a wraparound year.
Yeah. Going back to the... So, yeah, I think world ranking points definitely need to start featuring, as much as it might absolutely annoy PGA Tour, DP World Tour. I don't think you can have fields like Cameron Smith, Dustin Johnson, Chase, Bryson DeChambeau. You can't have tournaments like that that just aren't having world ranking points.
I want you to put your what's the word I'm looking for? Get your crystal ball out. Yeah. Right, we're going 12 months down the line. Do you think that either A, the official world golf ranking includes LIV events, and obviously therefore LIV players can benefit from world ranking points? Or do you think B, the official world ranking still doesn't allow LIV, and therefore it's kind of almost just diminished, and there becomes a new entry into majors somehow?
In my opinion, they absolutely have to feature LIV. Mm. Regardless of what they like or don't like, I just don't think you can look past it. It completely tarnishes the authenticity of the world ranking points, the validation of it. You just can't have I feel like almost as long as I don't know what the absolute criteria is, but I feel like if they play an 18 hole stroke play with some of the best players in the world ranking points should be applicable.
Question for you. Obviously, you said then, like, I would agree that the LIV field was probably stronger than the PGA Tour field. And Cameron Smith won on LIV and Max Homa won on the PGA Tour. But you might not have an answer to this, but do you look at Cameron Smith and think, wow, he's won a LIV event? Out of 100, let's say, you think, I don't know, percentage-wise of how impressed you are by that. Do you look at Max Homa thinking, wow, he's won his fifth PGA Tour title, as being more of an achievement, if that makes sense? So are you at the point now where you're actually looking at LIV events as being serious and think, oh, wow, he's won one?
I think the field, yes, I have to say, LIV is a better field this week.
So your answer would be, you think Cameron Smith's achievement was bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair play.
On top of that, though, I'd possibly argue just that Robert McIntyre's achievement was probably even slightly bigger. Was bigger.
Because of?
More field,
yeah.
More players, four rounds of golf, and the caliber of player is still pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
You had two of the top 10 playing in DP World Tour this week, where you only had one of the top 10 players playing in LIV.
Yeah.
Currently okay. This week.
Question, and it's a little bit loaded, and it's the way I perceive it, but I'm interested again to hear your point of view.
By the way, I've just found out something that I didn't know, so come back. Yeah, go on.
I know it's ifs and buts again, but Danny Willett obviously didn't win in the end because he kind of messed up on the last hole. If Danny Willett had have won, right, that would have been his PGA Tour win, blah, blah, blah. Equally, if Danny Willett had gone to LIV and won that event, which one of those would you have been seen as more of a big achievement? You still have thought Danny Willett winning on LIV? Because he's the kind of player that could have gone to LIV. Yeah. You feel like would suit LIV?
I am, because,
so would you
again,
still
going back to my point a minute ago, and it's not the sponsor's fault, Fortinet, but I didn't know what this week's tournament was. Do you get what I mean? Where the LIV is just LIV Chicago.
Yeah.
It's just our LIV event in Chicago. Where I felt like this week's PGA Tour, and even somewhat degree that the Italian Open this week. No, the Italian Open's got credibility, to be honest.
Do you think that'd be case by case then?
If that was the Farmers Insurance Open this week on the PGA Tour, way bigger. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because I just feel like it carries more weight. Weirdly enough, the Fortinet Championship, that was also won by Max Homa last year.
Oh, wow.
But I wouldn't have known either.
No.
Very quick one. The governing board at the official world ranking. Did you know this?
Well, I know Jay Monahan's on it.
Yeah.
Martin Slumbers, I think.
And Keith Pelley.
Yeah.
So Keith Pelley,
European
Jay
tour.
Monahan, Martin Slumbers, the USGA Mike Wan. So it's obviously very, very influenced by the exact same decision makers who want LIV to fail.
Yeah.
Currently right now.
Do you think LIV players, obviously the world ranking is massive to getting players into the majors, which is obviously the biggest reason, but obviously there's all that, also that I'm sure they love being world number one or top 10 player in the world just for their own kind of, a lot of them as well will have contracts with the manufacturers. If you're a tailor-made player, they may say if you're top 10 in the world, we'll give you more money per week you're in the top 10 or whatever. If there was a way, let's just say all these kind of hypothetical questions, but if it turns out where the majors say, look, we won't do it off world rankings, we'll do it off other things. Do you think the players that then play on LIV, as long as they can get into majors, won't care about world ranking anymore? Or do you still think they'll want that for that like almost level of knowing where they sit?
I think it's very interesting when you actually do talk about players about world ranking. They don't really care about it.
Mm.
Really.
As long as they want to be number one.
Well, yeah, they want to be number one, definitely. But I think
Top 50, top 10, and top 50
get you in
the majors.
Would have been, yeah, in WGCs yeah. back in the day. Well, still obviously present. And then obviously you want to get into top 10 because I'm sure it comes with extra credibility. But I think, I would be surprised.
Eighth or sixth is irrelevant, isn't it?
One of the things, though, I definitely think this weekend, it's made me realise two things. With all these different tournaments going on and just being a busy weekend anyway, I am much more drawn to watching individual golfers rather than events. Apart from the Masters and the Open and the Ryder Cup.
What do you mean individual?
I wanted to watch the DP World Tour because of Rory McIlroy
rather than the fact it's the Italian Open.
Correct.
Okay.
I wanted to watch Rory McIlroy and Matt Fitzpatrick this weekend. I also wanted to watch Aaron Rye, me and my golf coach. Like, I want to see those golfers. When I turned into LIV, I wanted to watch Cameron Smith. Mm-hmm. I wanted to watch Dustin Johnson. When I turned on to PGA Tour, there was nobody at the top of the leaderboard this week that I really wanted to watch. So it's easy for me not to watch it as much. The other thing I really realised is I'm very much, certainly when I've got a busy weekend and I'm there with the family, my wife went away this weekend partying, so I had the kids, which is fine. Obviously it's fine because I'm the dad. But in the sense that I didn't maybe have as much luxury time to sit down and watch the TV, ease of watching content is really important.
Yeah.
So for me, this weekend, I've got Now TV on my phone, so I can watch Sky Sports. To open the app, to go on Sky Sports and to watch live, I can do it. And I watched quite a bit of Rory McIlroy when I knew he was doing well. But I knew he was doing well through Twitter. Mm-hmm. So then I go, let's watch a bit of that. So I watch a bit. Where for me, LIV, I didn't particularly know who was doing well because I wasn't watching any of the social media. But the fact it's on YouTube and I can just go straight on it and I can rewind it and I can pause
it.
As we've mentioned in the past.
Very, very good.
Currently, the viewing platform is very, very good for that. There's lots of talk at the moment about Greg Norman talking about different broadcasters
and
wherever it might be. And so that might completely change. It might go to a network that I don't even get a chance to watch.
Yeah.
And then will I be asked? I don't know if I will. Yeah. I really don't.
Tough one.
You know, if it goes to, what's that one, The Zone?
Yeah.
I'm not getting The Zone just to go and watch that particularly. Unless I absolutely
have to.
It's on
The Zone at the moment as well. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to Fox. Who knows? But yeah, you're right. The fact it's been on YouTube, Facebook and stuff has been a big selling point.
I feel like as soon as you move away from Sky or you move away from YouTube, you definitely start putting more barriers up.
Yeah.
Because even BT Sport, I don't have BT Sport. Yeah. So if United are running, I just don't watch the BT Sport. I'll illegally live stream it through Twitter. But like, so I think that's my concern. If it, from a standpoint of viewership and potential growth, not concern, that's the wrong word, but what might change the goalpost, if they do start to take it away from these free platforms, how is that going to be perceived and how is it going to... The other thing I realised as well, sorry, I feel like I'm talking about a lot of different comparisons this week. I feel like the audience, certainly at Liv, seem rowdier.
Yeah.
I know we had that email last week about the Wentworth gent who wasn't happy with the chavvy crowd. For me, when I was flicking through the different channels this weekend, like, there wasn't many people at Rome for the Italian Open. It seemed like a really quiet event. You typically do get that sometimes in Europe. You don't get as many spectators. Compare that to somewhere like BMW Wentworth last week in London. The PGA Tour had a decent crowd, definitely, but seemed very what you'd expect from a PGA Tour crowd. The LIV crowd just seemed a bit more mental.
Yeah. Like, I think they encourage it, don't they?
Yeah. Like, there was chanting. There was, you know, even like DJ on the last green, he nearly chipped it in. This might have been on the Saturday, actually. He nearly chipped it in for an eagle. And his putt finished like 3 foot away. And the crowd's like, that's good, DJ. Pick it up, DJ.
Just pure banter.
You're all right. So it's very different. Yeah. They must fuel them. The drink must be a bit cheaper.
Yeah. Well, we have had a very, very busy morning on our Facebook group, Rick, the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast group. If you're not a member, as always, why not?
Why not?
It would annoy you, wouldn't it, if you found someone in the street who said, Rick, big fan, but not a member of the group. You'd say, what?
How dare you?
I actually saw you, I thought it was a bit out of order, but at range night, when someone came up to you and said, hi, Rick, I'm honoured to be here, big fan. You, oh, thanks, Nigel. His name was Nigel. And then he said, just one thing though, I've not ever bothered joining the Facebook group. And then you looked him in the eye, you took your golf glove off and just slapped him with it. And I thought it was a bit harsh.
Well, you know what though? I thought that bit wasn't too bad.
Okay.
It was when I pushed him off the top deck of the driving range.
That was a bit too
that
far.
That was a bit too... The slap with the glove, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I was maybe a tiny bit out of order, but I feel like it was also justified. The fact that I then pushed him off the top of the driving range.
And everyone started chucking eggs at him. I don't know where the eggs from. That was the weird thing. It was like, so all of a sudden everyone was launching eggs at this guy, Nigel. I was like, why has he even got eggs? And they all thought, apparently you told him before you come, bring eggs.
For Nigel.
Someone's going to get egged. But anyway, we've had loads
just
of questions.
Just to clarify,
on
none of that was actually true. Real life.
So we'll be very careful on how we answer some of these, but Liam Cowan has said, are Ping bringing out a new driver anytime soon?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I've seen it. it's actually,
if you Google it, you'll see images.
Any updates? This is from Kevin Smart. Any updates on the new golf bidder challenge versus Peter Finch?
I think we're still trying to get it in by the end of this year. If not, it'll be early next year. Maybe give me a bit of time to practice.
Ian Crimp, it's a question as old as man. How important is the right shaft? Let's start again. How important is the right shaft flex?
As old as man.
Yeah.
You'll know a bit more from a fitting standpoint. I think it's got some level of importance as long as you're close by to the shaft spec that you want. I think more important are things like lie angle, length of a golf club, weight of a shaft, more than flex.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think weight is very important. And also, I feel like it depends on you which club as well. So if you've got steel irons and you've got an R300 versus an X100, I think for most people, as long as they have the right head and it wouldn't make too much difference, actually.
No.
But yeah, it's worth getting all these things checked. But typically, stiffer shafts are heavier, but not always. So be wary.
Best gadget gear must have for winter golf, Mark Clifford. 100% rain gloves.
Oh, no, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Two gloves, rain gloves.
Yeah.
Just have them in your bag at all times.
And they get better the wetter they are.
They're so good.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I thought you were going to say hand warmers. I know you're partial.
Oh, yeah,
hand warmers
as well. The only thing I've really gone off is mitts. They're just a bit of a faff, aren't they?
Mitts are, yes. I feel like tour pros suit them because they have them on, give them to the caddy, but they are a bit of a faff. You know what I do like? That big one that you get in like a motor caddy.
How good are they?
They're so good. Whoever invented that is clever.
Clever boys.
Jeff Gibson, are you going to review the TSR driver, Rick?
I've not got any yet.
No.
If I get hold of some, potentially. But don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I think it's...
It seems a bit... You know, I'm keen to hit it. We might have some breaking news about club reviews coming soon. We've not quite decided yet. But, yeah. At the moment, I've got no massive desire to. And sometimes, if I don't have a desire to, like, proper... I just don't see that much of a difference in it. I just don't think I'm going to put my all into the video. Yeah. I've got to still enjoy testing and being excited about equipment. And at the moment, from what I've seen, that TSRI, whatever it is, doesn't float my boat just yet.
Think long and hard before you answer this one. It's from Reese Lewis. Can I get a happy birthday as it's my birthday today?
Oof, Reese. Yeah, straight on this camera. Hi, Reese. It's Rick Shields. Happy birthday. Hope you have a great day. And make sure you play a bit of golf, have a few beers, and thanks for watching the videos. I really appreciate it. And have a great, great birthday.
I don't watch the videos. Might be funny of your Twitter. Might be funny of your Twitter work. Imagine if someone was like, met you in the street, like, hey, Rick, hiya. I love you on Twitter. Oh, do you watch my video? Do you do videos? No, just like your tweets.
Love your tweets.
Rebecca Halfpenny has asked, this is a good question, Rebecca. Hopefully this is going to be music to your ears. When is that Richard Hammond video coming out?
I have just seen the first edit of it, and possibly this week, possibly tomorrow, if not next Wednesday.
George McCutcheon has asked, have you, meaning me, or Rick, meaning Rick, ever been kicked off or refused entry to a golf course?
It's definitely becoming harder to play it.
I think it's the job on courses that paying then.
It's definitely getting harder to sometimes arrange going to a golf course and filming, because not for the fact that they don't want us, the fact that they want the golf course to be in fantastic condition. Mm. So we've had a couple of times this year where golf courses have refused us to go and play. Because we have had a few golf courses that have just downright said, no, you cannot play here or film here.
You know what?
Because our condition isn't quite where it needs to be.
I respect it in a way as well. It's frustrating when they say it because, like, oh, we're going to think somewhere else. But it's like they know, that means they understand, I guess, that they obviously know their video is going to be watched by upwards of 500,000 people, maybe more, depending on what video it is. Yep. And they want it to look good.
Sometimes they've had course maintenance or the greens aren't quite as where they want to be or whatever it is. And they'll say, oh, come back at another time. And we never do.
I also think sometimes...
One chance only.
Yeah, sometimes people might think you do like a course review as well, which obviously we're not. You're playing the golf course. And because obviously these golf courses are nice enough to let you go and play, it's very rare we'd start looking at things to pull them up on, because there's no benefit to that, really.
I'd almost think, I'm not going to review it, but the viewer might review it.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? The viewer might go, oh, that green didn't look that good. I'm not going to particularly pick up on that, but, you know, a viewer might go, oh, I was going to play there, but now I'm not. Where if the golf course is in good condition, they'll go, wow, those greens looked amazing.
Yeah.
Somewhere like a Wallasey.
What beard oil, this is from James Howell, what beard oil does Rick use to keep it nice and well-groomed?
I do actually use it. I can't remember the name of it. Let me have a look. I'm going to Google it now. I use a beard moisturizer and beard oil. Bulldog beard oil. No, I don't. Yeah, I do. Bulldog. There you go.
Great.
Breaking news.
I've had loads of questions, which is really good to see. Have you got any more?
What's Rick Shields' hangover cure before a round of golf? Well, luckily for me, I don't particularly get super hungover, but a bit of food, bit of an energy drink, plenty of water, and just got to stomach it. And maybe after two holes, get a beer down your neck. Are you any closer to organising a YouTube major? Potentially. Like I say, I feel like a lot of plans we start to think about in the summer. Then before you know it, we're getting to the back end of the year and middle of September now, getting into October. The weather's definitely changed over here in the UK, hasn't it?
Oh,
it started to get a lot colder.
Literally, middle of last week, it was like someone pressed a button and went, that's summer, gone.
Yeah.
Welcome to autumn.
And like the leaves are coming down the tree, off the trees. It, you know, when we played at, where was it? And it was super dewy all the way around. Was that Formby? No, Clitheroe.
Clitheroe, yeah, that's when it started.
It just felt autumnal straight away.
Yeah.
So maybe not this year, but lots of exciting plans for next year.
Can I read some reviews out? Have you got another question?
I did have one, yeah.
I've got the weirdest thing ever to read out. I want to read it. Not weirdest thing ever, but a strange thing.
What's worse, Bryson not shouting four or his behaviour yesterday when getting caught on the rope? You've seen this?
I didn't see his behaviour, so I'm getting caught.
He dived.
Like a footballer.
That question was from Duncan Haller. And the way he's put, the way he snatched the towel off his caddy in a strop was disgusting. He went down like a Premier League footballer in the penalty box.
No, just a quick one. I thought it was quite funny. Don't normally like respond to negative comments too much. This was brilliant. So you can obviously review the podcast on Apple. And I think on Spotify now as well. So if you want to go, if you've never reviewed it before and you want to, feel free to go and review it. We've currently got, Rick, I don't know how you feel about this, 4.9 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
Which I think is all right.
It's really good.
And it's a mixture of, it seems to be either great comments or horrendous comments.
Okay.
Which is, I think, why people would review. You wouldn't really review an all right. If you went for a meal and it was brilliant, you might go, you know what? That was great. I'm going to review this and leave a trip advisor. Equally, if it was terrible, you'd probably go, I'm going to leave a bad review.
But if it was medium good, you're not going to do anything.
So for balance, I'm going to read out a good comment, a bad comment, and then the weird comment. The weird comments are kind of about me, so I took it a little bit personally, but it was just weird. So good comment. Big fan of the show. This is from someone called Chris Dodd. Would highly recommend to be people who like golf and even people who don't play golf. Rick and Guy have done a great job growing the community. Well done to them. That's an example of a good comment.
Very nice.
So thank you for that. But equally, as a bad comment, people are allowed their opinion. This is from Adam the Angler. Probably shouldn't read out who they're from. Anyway, it says, disappointed.
Okay.
1 star.
Nice.
You don't half blow your own trumpet, you two. I used to love your YouTube channel and pod. Followed you for years, but not anymore. Stop trying to be American, Rick, and stick to your northern roots. No wonder John Daly binned you off. Okay.
When have I not been?
Yeah, I have no idea. I always think you mean American. That's the most weird one. But, so that's an example.
Hey, folks, welcome down to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast. How are you all doing here now?
That's an example of we get mostly and thankfully lovely ones, but also we get negative ones and you're allowed your opinion. But the one that struck me, this, it come up on my thing. I've not been searching for these. I got an email about new reviews and this came on. Okay, so this review, the title of it is a full stop, weirdly.
That's it.
That's a title. And it's had 4 out of 5 stars.
Okay.
So that's a weird number of stars to give because it's not obviously anywhere near a 1 star, but it's not full marks. So it goes like this. It says, currently on episode 91.
Okay.
Trying to listen to them all from the start. I get through about 6 or 7 a day as I drive trucks for about 7 hours. It passes time.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, he's a fan. 6 or 7 a day is commitment, right?
Big time.
He then says, have listened and stopped a few times now because I have to admit, I find it hard listening to Guy. Okay, opinion, fine. He isn't funny in the slightest. Yeah, fair dues. And the way he blows smoke up Rick's is cringeworthy. And he says, after the episode with Peter Finch came on and then the week after, Guy spoke down about his level of game, blah, blah, blah. So basically that's something that happened a long time ago. I'm sure you know about that if you do. But then he says, the content is generally decent and good listen.
Okay.
Okay, so now I'm confused again. I'm not gouting Guy's production input, but really do think the show would be better if Guy wasn't on it and someone else was. So again, I'm thinking, fair enough. So he's kind of saying, I've listened to it up to here. I've had enough of Guy. I'm thinking he's out. But then he says, 50-odd to go and I'll be in the clubhouse. Hope you've got a decent lager on draft when I get there. So I feel emotionally like a roller coaster.
He wants to get in the clubhouse.
He likes 7
when
a day.
When he gets in, he's going to give me a big hug and a handshake and he's going to blank you.
Yeah. It was the most bizarre. I'm used to some people saying guys are right, idiot.
Funny.
I get that. But
oh
it was
my
like,
goodness.
I listened to 7 a day, done it for 90 episodes worth.
That's
killing it.
Ridiculous.
I'd rather Guy not be on it, fair play. That's your opinion. I think some people agree with you. But then he then says, but I've got 50 more to go and I'm going to get through it. What a bizarre.
Imagine if, as he's doing it, he turns you down every time.
You know what? I wouldn't blame him if he did.
If he's like, he's talking. listen, you've got, is it anonymous?
Yes.
That one. You've got 60 episodes and many, many more of guys, so get bloody used to it.
I know,
it.
But he's committed. He has said he's committed, so he's going to be
That's
there
so
in the clubhouse.
Funny. That is so
and if
funny.
You want to know what the clubhouse is, I'm sure you're listening, you know, but if you don't know and you're thinking, what is the clubhouse? It's a mystical place. It's a magical place. It's a good place. It's a cool, the vibe changes. It's recently been quite a chilled out vibe in the clubhouse, hasn't
it? Has it been refurbed yet?
It has been refurbished and there's a lot going on. And all you have to do to enter this place is listen to all the podcasts or watch them, your choice. It's a commitment. It is.
It is.
And you've officially become Rick Shields' friend. If you're in the clubhouse and you need a a best man or an usher, Rick is obliged to do that for you.
Obliged.
He's been to 4 weddings so far.
I've never been a best man in my life, in real life, but in the clubhouse world.
He's constantly best man.
Literally. The speeches just flow off my tongue. So yeah, no, all good. Get involved. Don't miss out on anything. Make sure you are following us on all of the platforms. Like Guy says, make sure you check us out on the Facebook group, all over YouTube. We've got some banger videos coming out this week. Like I say, fingers crossed it'll be Richard Hammond on Wednesday, me giving him a lesson. And then Friday it will be Clitheroe Break 75, which was a fantastic episode yet again.
Stop blowing your own trumpet.
And then we shall be taking out the track and making sure that I watch some NFL this weekend.
Yes.
Because I love the Patriots, because they're my favourite squad.
I'm just going to go for a walk around the sidewalk.
Sidewalk.
Because I needed to get some. I'm too many elevators.
But did you notice the freeways closed?
Yeah. Are your kids still in diapers or not?
Diapers, and they've got pacifiers.
And they eat a lot of candy.
Candy, and yeah, and they forever saying, hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Rick Shields Golf Show podcast.
And
you have become American, actually, thinking about it. You really
yeah,
are.
So we need to go. We're just now going to go into In-N-Out Burgers and go and get some burgers paying with dollars.
Can we get soda?
Soda and all the other good stuff that comes with it. We have to tip.
Can I wear a fanny pack?
As long as I wear my hat backwards.
Yes.
Guys, thanks for listening. We shall see you all soon. And that's Ricky and Guy signing out on this week's pod. We'll see you next time, folks.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.